Okay, so the pasuk begins. I'm reading it from the screen. Zehu echad ben shmoyne asa milim tikun seifrim. This is one of the 18 words in Tanakh, which are what's called tikun seifrim. Umiktsasam huva b'mechilta b'piskel v'roiv ga'oincha. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean? Tikun seifrim. Tikun seifrim is a very misleading term, because it sounds like that Chazal tampered with the nusach in the pasuk, and there can be nothing further from the truth to say such a thing that Chazal would tamper with the words of the pasuk, because tikun seifrim means that who are the seifrim? The seifrim are Chazal. Chazal. The Seifrim are Chazal, and they are making the tikkunim, they are making corrections in the words of the text. That is incorrect. Tikkun Seifrim means that Hashem himself, he's the one who already made the corrections in the text when it was written, or when the Nevi'im, when it was put in writing by the Nevi'im, or in the Torah by Moshe, the change was already done. And the reason why it was done is that it should not be misleading to say something which is not sensitive to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, let's see what it means over here with Sifrei, the Parashas B'Haloyscha, and in the Sifrei and the Parashas B'Haloyscha, Piska Vahi Bin Tzoha Aroin, V'chulu Ma'is Hiluhu B'Medrash Yilamdeinu, that is the name of a Medrash, Medrash Yilamdeinu, B'Parashas B'Shalach, U'Masaris Reish Seif Seif Amidbar, V'Tilim, and Sefer, what we call Tehillim. And the Mincha Shai calls it Tilim. Simen Kuf Vav, the Prakim are called the Simonim. This is the terminology of those that lived long before us. They called it Tehillim, not Tehillim, but Tilim, and they called each Perek, they called it a Simen. Now what does it say over here? V'eluhen, Bivavas Enoi, V'amartem Hine Matlo'o, V'pachtem Oisoi. Now he goes through over here. I'm not going to go through all these things. It's not our topic to go through every single one of these things. At Khan, and let's now jump down to the next paragraph, where it says uveperush. Now let me just switch over to this computer. One moment. I'm going to switch over to the computer. Okay. All right, now could you hear me better?
Now we can hear you. Before
okay.
We didn't hear
okay,
you.
I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry.
You have to get yourself a little monitor, you know, that feeds back from the system.
No, and normally it's good. I had to reboot the computer. Everything is good now. For some reason, I have to reboot every morning. All right, we're good. Now. Let's go further. All right, let's start again. Okay, I have it on. You should have it on the screen. Do you have it on the screen, or that disappears? It disappears. Let me put it back on the screen then. All right, here it is.
We have you on the screen.
Okay, you have the
Mincha Shai.
Okay, so let's start again. The first paragraph we're not going to do. We're just going to read the first words. The first paragraph tells us that the word Bivas Eino is a Tikkun Seifrim. And what does that mean? What do we mean by that? You're touching the. I'm not exactly sure why this is called a Tikkun. We'll see in a moment. This is a sensitive term. Let's just keep that point in mind. And he says, just as an interesting idea, there are 18 times, according to the Medrash, there are 18 times in Tanakh where there are expressions that are grammatically incorrect in order to be sensitive towards Hashem, in order not to write something that would be disrespectful. And it does not mean, by any, the word Tikkun Seifrim does not mean that Chazal themselves tampered with the words of the Torah or Tanakh. What it means is that when the Torah was given, or when the Nevi'im put it in writing from day one, it was already written in the way that we have it today in order to be sensitive. Some people don't understand it. Some people, unfortunately, don't understand it like that. They say Tikkun Sefer means that Chazal came along and they tampered and they erased. They added words and they deleted words, and that is Apikorsis. And they say, but it says Tikkun Sefer. Tikkun means a correction of the scribes. Who are the scribes? Chazal. That is Apikorsis. Tikkun Sefer means it's an expression. It's an expression which means that when the Torah was given, either in Chumash or when the Nevi'im were written down by the prophets, from day one it was written it was written purposely, deliberately, in a way that's grammatically incorrect, in order to preserve the sensitivity that is necessary when describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there are 18 such examples, and this word is one of them, which we'll explain in a few moments. Now let's.
There's a woman yeah. called up the Star K and wanted to speak to the head honcho, the Rabbi Machshir.
Yeah.
And she was very glowing with praise. She said, "Thank you for your Shabbos mode oven. Now I can bake cake for my kids every Saturday." She understood Shabbos mode meaning that on
you're allowed to.
Shabbos mode, and you can use the oven.
Okay, what does that have to do with this? What that called Tikkun Sefer?
Also, you have a Tikkun Sefer, and people learn. What is a Tikkun Sefer? It's a correction.
There's
a whole Sefer called Tikkun Sefer. So if it's the Amharic takes it, he says, wow, this is the whole Torah that was corrected by the Sefer.
Right. So it's a term. It's an expression, which unfortunately there are people that have used this expression to claim falsely that the Torah that we have today is not the way it was given. It was tampering. And that is pure, unadulterated apikorsis. And unfortunately, this has crept into to a lot of different works. Tikkun Sefer is an expression which means that originally, when Hashem gave the Torah at Har Sinai, there were expressions that were deliberately written in a certain way in order to teach us to be sensitive to the honor of Hashem. Now let's go further. Let's now jump down to the next, because now he goes through here all in the first paragraph. He goes through all of the 18 examples, the 18 places in Tanakh. It's a very important mincha shai. He shows you the 18 places. Now let's go to down one paragraph, and we'll explain this more. Uveperush tikkun seifrim yesh mishakosav she'anshe knesa gedele tiknu. This is what I'm referring to. There are people who say, Yesh Mishakosav, very big topic, this is a really explosive topic, that the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah Tiknu V'Shinui HaDibur Mimashoy Kosa B'Tchila. Could you imagine such a thing? People came along, okay, if we didn't have this in print, and you would say that you're saying such things in the Shir, you're talking up your courses. What kind of Shir is this? But I'm reading to you from the Mincha Shai. I'm reading from you from the Art Scroll, okay, the Art Scroll edition of Trey Osser. And he cites this idea to make it clear to reject it. It's a very big, big topic. And you know where it even crept into? Into the Pentateuch. No, not the Pentateuch. Remember those the blue linear Chumashim, the original. Remember the before Mitsudos came along and produced the translation side by side, line by line.
McGill?
We all grew up using those blue chumashim.
I think that's the Birnbaum chumash.
No, not the Birnbaum.
It was McGill.
There was blue.
It was Shoffman.
So whatever it was in that chumash, it says, I don't remember where it is. It says there's one Rashi that says Tikkun Seferim, and the way it was translated was sloppy. And I don't remember the details. All I remember was that there was a Rebbe, it was not my Rebbe, I came the year after, in Chaim Berlin. His name was Rabbi Berlovsky. He was a very choshever Rebbe. He was a fifth grade Rebbe for decades. And he...
A really good guy. I remember my son had him.
He was a very choshever person. I remember him. I never had him as a Rebbe, because I came afterwards. And I remember somebody told me that he taught them Chumash Rashi, and everyone in the class had this Chumash in front of them. And they came to this, there's a Rashi in Bereish. I don't know, Rashi in Bereish, I think, somewhere. I don't even know where the Rashi is. Where Rashi says Tikkun Seferim. And the translation, in his opinion, I don't know what it said there, because it was written, it was done by very choshva people. that chumash. I think Rav Sheps was involved. Rav Sheps and Tor Vadas was involved in that translation. I don't know to what degree, and that's not mistaken. And there, he was very disappointed in the translation of the words Tikkun Soferim, which gave you the impression, as exactly what it says over here in the Mincha Shai, that the Chachamim came along and they actually edited God's manuscript. And he was so disturbed, he collected all of the Chumashim from every single one of the students in the class, and he took them either home or took them to the office, and he crossed it out, the translation, and he wrote in its place his translation, which I guess means whatever we're going to learn over here, that it doesn't chas v'sholom mean that Chazal changed and made edits in Hashem's Torah. It means when Hashem gave the Torah, it was already given with the change in order to teach us the sensitivity that we are required to have when it comes to matters of Kedusha. And that's the term Tikkun Sofer means that it's not to be translated literally. I have no doubt whoever wrote the Chumash, the translation didn't mean like that. It's just that it was probably a sloppy translation, or at least it was sloppy in the opinion of Reb Berlovsky, to the degree that he was not satisfied and he collected the Chumashim and he translated it to his liking.
Actually, edited the text.
He did a Tikkun Sofer. Exactly. So let's see. Beperish Tikkun Sofer. What does the words mean here? Yesh mi shekosav she'anshei kineses hagedoyla tiknu. They made corrections. Vishinui. They made changes. Hadibur mimashu yekosav batchila. Ulechoira kein yire mi medrash yilamdeinu. If you take at a glance at this medrash called Medrash Yilamdeinu, that's the impression you get. Zechein kosav Rabbi Nosan Baal ha eruch the oruch, the famous dictionary, the famous one of the first dictionaries is written by a Rishon, the Aruch, the Erech Chof Beis Dalit, the Inyan Tikkun Soferim Shebesvadim Harishonim Hoyakosa Bivoas Eini. Okay, here we're coming to explain what exactly is the Tikkun Soferim. Anyone that starts up with the Jewish people is starting up with my Eini, not Eino his. The correct grammar for this pasuk should be bivoas eini, my eye. Hashem is the speaker. Zechariah is speaking in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look at the pasuk, Hashem eshlachani al goyim hashalom eschem ki emegeh bochem. Hashem has said, it's a quotation of Hashem. What is Hashem saying? Hashem is making a statement. This is a quotation directly from above, from the boss. Ki hanogeh bochem. Interesting, Trump, he talked about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he called him the boss. He copying Rabbi Herman, all for the boss. Kol hanokia nogeya bochem nogeya bivoas einoi. So if Hashem is speaking, Hashem doesn't talk about himself in third person. Hashem says, whoever touched Jewish people is touching a knee, my eye. So it's not a vav, it's a yud. So what does it say in the Aruch? The Aruch says, it says, hayikas the bivoas, Rabbi Shoy Mer. The Jewish people are chashuv. They're equivalent to Hashem's eye, this pupil. Ki hanogea bochem nogea bivoas. Eino. Now, what's he saying over here? Eilu hasoifrim v'hachachamim shetiknu hasayog hazeh. These are the scribes and the wise men who have shetiknu hasayog hazeh, who have corrected this siyog. And I don't know what it means by siyog. No, means a fence. Have corrected this fence. What that means exactly, I don't know how the word siyog fits into the sentence. Uperish zeh heviu bal matnois kuhuna bereishis rabba parashas memtes. V'gam b'midbar rabba parashah chof. Omar hakadosh baruch hu lebilim harasha. Ani kosafti al yishol ki hanogea bochem nogea bivoas einoi. V'atoch elich liga bohem ulekadalam. Teitse enoy, may your eye be poked out. We know that Bilam was blind in one eye as a punishment. Shenemar shesum ha'ayin. It says that his eye is closed. Shesum means to be sealed shut. Now, the word shesum can really be translated both ways. Open eyes or closed eyes. We always discuss this idea that a word, when you manipulate its vowels, can be transformed from one extreme to the other. So on the one hand, we take the word shesum, lashon of tam. Tam means to be closed. But on the other hand, a word can always mean the opposite. It's simply understood in the simple translation to mean that he has open eyes. He has revelations. He is a prophet. He's able to see the future. But yet it also means that as a close, in the Chazal make a drasha, it doesn't say shesum ha'enayim b'loshon rabim, it says ha'ayin b'loshon yachid, one eye, teaching us a drasha that one of the eyes of Bilam was blind as a punishment for starting up with the Jewish people, who is called the Bas Ayin, the Eye of Hashem. The people of the Eye of Hashem were called the Bas Ayin, and because he went and he tried to curse the Jewish people, Mido Keneged Mido, his eye was blinded. And we quote this pasuk here in Zechariah, which calls the Jewish people HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eye. Now, it's a little bit difficult here, because every single medrash that at least in the latter part of this Mincha Shabbat he's quoting a medrash, and the way it's presented in the Art Scroll edition where it's quoting it says Eino with a Vav, the way we have it, but it seems he's trying to make a point that it's really spelled originally Eini, my eye. So let's get a little clarification over here. Uperish Balmanes Kuhuna Bevoas Eino Doresh Hakri. We're going to darshan the way we pronounce it, Eino Al hanogia atzmai kolaymar sheyisosem eino, his eye. Okay. Now, it's very vague what he's saying here. I don't really.
Are we saying though that Hashem is speaking of himself in the third person?
Well, that's exactly the problem. Hashem doesn't do that. That's exactly why it's called a tikkun sofer. That's exactly the point. Hashem does not talk about himself in the third person.
Not in the first person, in the third person. That's how it appears.
Right. So that is called a tikkun sofer, because it's not derech eretz. Even though the way the Mincha Shai is presenting is that Hashem really said, in this interpretation, Hashem really said, and it was really originally written in this book. Ki hanogea bochem, anyone who touches the Jewish people, nogea bivoas a ni, my eye. Now, when we put that in writing, it's disrespectful. It's disrespectful to say that someone is poking out Hashem's eyes. You don't talk about Hashem like that. When someone tries you don't talk about Hashem. It's as simple as that. That's not derech eretz. So when but Hashem said it. Hashem did say this. That's what we're saying. So we manipulate the text, and we don't say that Hashem said it. We say that we make it more delicate. If you someone that attempts to harm the Jewish people, it's as if you're trying to harm Hashem's eye. We speak about Hashem from our perspective, not a quotation that Hashem said about himself. And the connotation that the Mincha Shai is giving, which is not it's not perfectly expressed in the words, the way at least we have it in the Mincha Shai from the Pesukim that he quotes, I'm going to take this to the extreme, is that in the earliest editions of Sefer Zechariah, in the earliest editions, when it was first put into print, from the very beginning, it said, Ki hanogea bochem nogea bivoas eini. And then came along the Anshei Knesset HaGedoyla, probably how many years after this was put into writing. I don't know whether it was 500 years, whether it was 200 years, or it was 100 years later. And in the second edition, or the third, or fourth, or tenth edition of Sefer Zechariah, they changed the Yod to a Vav. They made a change. They made an edit in the text. And by extension, the other 18 examples that he cited in the first paragraph, which we skipped, all of those also were changes to the first edition. if you get a copy of the first edition of the Bible, a copy of the first edition of Tanakh, you're going to see that the words are spelled, there are some words that are spelled differently. And Chazal came along and they made a change. They changed a letter. Now, what I just said is an extreme statement, and I'm not even sure he really means that to the full extent. But that's not our point now. We're not going to get bogged down now with this. We're just going to leave it with that. But there's no question that at least in this Mahal approach that we are discussing, what's happening here is that Chazal are, to a degree, manipulating what was the original version to some degree.
You have to explain tikkun, Sofrin.
Tikkun means a correction. Tikkun means a correction. That's what it means. There is a correction. So this is, again, you have to nuance it to how, what does he mean to what degree, but it is a change. There is an original version, and then there is the new edition. Then he goes on to say, the Ein Perush Zeh, this is what is accepted today in the yeshiva world. In the world of the B'nai Torah, this what is about to say is the only mahalach in Tikkun Soferim, and what he said in the first paragraph is viewed today to be outright apikorsis. Now he doesn't say it's apikorsis. The Min Chashai doesn't go so far to say that what is above is kefira. He doesn't say that. In fact, he gives it legitimacy. He's giving it a degree of legitimacy. And he's saying that's what it's mashing the medrash, and that's what it says over here, that's what it says over there. Okay, it's not clearly defined. We have to really analyze the words of the Min Chashai, and the setting of it doesn't make sense. So we have to go look in the old editions of the Min Chashai, the very old editions, see exactly what he wrote, and the psukim that he's quoting, because over here, when he tries to prove his point, the way it's spelled, at least in the second part of the Min Chashai, is the way we have it in the pasuk. Eino, not eini, and you're going to have to, you have to be very creative in translating what he's trying to say. But there's no doubt about it that this parish, he says, there is a change, and he's giving it legitimacy. He's saying there's something to it. He's not saying that it's outright kefira. If you go out there into the Beis Medrash, any Beis Medrash today, and you tell them this pshat, they will tell you this is outright kefira. And he says over here, the Ein Perush Zeh Nachon Be'enei HaMefarshim, pun intended. This is not correct in the eyes, okay? Pun intended, in the eyes of the commentators that we are familiar with today. Ki chalilo lanu lehamin, God forbid, chalila, it's chulin, to say, Shasoifrim yosifu o yigru o yeshanu afilu o yisachas vimash v'kosu b'Torah, God forbid. Okay, here is the party line that they should change what it says in the Torah. The Adraba, Tikkun Kisilim Yikore. It's not called Tikkun Chachamim. It would be called the Tikkun of Kisilim. Fools. Anyone that would dare change edit the Bible is a fool. A correction of fools. The Chasle Lezare de Avram Lemevet Hachi. May God have mercy on the children of Avram. Good morning, Mr. Elm. To go and do such a thing. Oid kares abalu ikodim. Shein adam bo'olam sheyizayif sefer sheyomar ani ziyafti oitikanti kach v'kach. There's no one in the world that would forge a book and say, I forged or made a change. The eich yomu hein tikun sefer muhuzeh. A person wouldn't, okay, I don't know what he means exactly by this. No one's going to brag. No one is a brag that is a copy editor.
Or admit to.
Admit to being a copy editor. They're making changes. What do you mean? It's a job today. People make a lot of money. Get a lot of cover to be a copy editor. Only smart people can be copy editors. I don't know what he means exactly by this. No one brags, I changed. Because by making a change, what you're really doing is you're forging the document. No one is... The whole idea to forge something is to do it secretly. The idea of so Chazal are proud of themselves. They're saying, here we are, we're such great people, we forged the Torah. Well, why not?
Two things are wrong.
number one, to forge it, and number two, to
be proud of it.
Tikkun Sofrim. It's two sins here. Chas v'shalom, somebody should do something.
Something is wrong. That's the thing. Something is perish. And to say it and to be proud of it. It doesn't, it's impossible. The ulam, now he says the ulam, perhaps. It's a very light, it's a soft word. The ulam, perhaps. Ikra perish kubosh kosav harashba. Shahasoifrim vahachachamim diktiku matsu lifi inyan kol echad v'yachad min haksuv mohem. Sheikar hakavana, the primary intent of the expression, was to bring out something different than what it actually says. You have to be creative in your translation. You have to be loose. Koloimar. Rashi always says in the Gemara, Koloimar. Koloimar is a stop sign. It means do not translate the words literally. Be a little creative. Think out of the box. She'ikar ha'kavano lo'hoisa kimo shnira mimasha nichta b'sefer. Elitzat kavana acheres. V'lo ha'yulay lichtav kein, ela kein. Ela, so why then did the Torah originally, in the first edition, why was it written in a misleading way? Ela sheshina kosov. V'loy, because of sensitivity issues. V'loy kiru'um tikun soifrim. Why then is it called a tikun, a correction of the scribes? Ela shem diktiku uperishu shehen kinuyim. They were precise, and they realized that these are kinuyim, which means these are imprecise expressions. The akosav atzmai, but the truth is, the akosav atzmai kinokain. So it's called tikkun soifrim only in respect that they're the ones who discovered it. They are the ones who discovered that the Torah itself, the first edition, was sensitive and expressed something in an imprecise way in order to preserve the sensitivity of the matter. V'chein kosa bal halichos oilam. Who else supports my thesis? The halichos oilam, the harav hamizrachi, I don't know who this is, ubal yifei toyar, parashas vayera, u'mechabrim acherim zulosam, v'korov l'masha kosa bal hoikodim. He was one of the big rishonim in the bal hoikodim. The Maimor Gimel Perichov Beis, the Zohi, the Emes, Kavonas, and now he wants to say that don't be misled with what I started, that there's legitimacy to the other approach, that Chazal indeed tampered with the text, as I start off with, because that's what it really seems to say in Medrash Yilamdenu, as a title of a Medrash. No. If you read carefully Medrash Yilamdenu, you'll see that's also what they mean to say. The Medrash Yilamdenu Shekein Omar.
Mizrahi is commentary on Rashi.
Oh, that's okay. That's the Mizrahi. I find okay. The Mizrahi is kind of fun. One of the famous commentary on Rashi. Okay. Eshakein Amar Nogea. What does it say there? Nogea. I have to now put on the screen the next page. Okay. Just give me one moment, please. This is going to be. It's not going to come out so clear. This picture. Okay, but we'll try anyway.
The
Feitoar is a commentary on the Medrash, probably Medrash Rabbah. All right, here it goes. Okay. See if you just try the best you can to see. It's not so clear because the page bends. Nageh b'vas einoi, the top line. Eini hoya loy loymar. It should have said my eye. Hashem is the speaker. Ela. Shekina kosev kiviyachol klapi maila. The pasuk changed because it's not respectful to say that you're poking at that Hashem is saying about himself, you're poking out my eye. No such thing. You can't say that. V'soif ha'maimer mochiach, gam kein bitchilosei ba'omroi, ela, and then he goes on to say, shekinu pesukim elu anshei kineses hagedoyla. That doesn't sound too good. That sounds like the anshei kineses hagedoyla, they're the ones who actually made the change.
Right. That's the
problem.
Negative thesis that we began.
Right. But he's over here, the Mincha Shai is trying his very hardest to say that even in this Medrash, when it uses this terminology, it doesn't mean like the way we're translating it. Ulekach nikru soifrim, shayu soifrim kol oisya sheba Torah. They counted the letters of the Torah. V'dorshin oisan, hari mevoar shachachamim v'asoifrim diktiku biu medaktek, uperishu shakosav medaber derech kinui. V'yesh lohem koyach l'foresh kein. They have the power to explain as such. Kimosha nimsha haTorah lechachamim lidroish. They have the power. This is a very, very fundamental yesoid of emuna in Yados, Orthodox Jews, to understand the words of Chazal. They have within their right the power to explain the psukim based upon the tradition that has been handed down to them. Leforesh came to explain. It means that Kemoshe Nimsera HaTorah LaChachamim Lidroish, to explain, to expound, Kefi Chochmosam, their wisdom. And here's the next very critical word. And this really is where it's all at. VeKabolosam, what they have received. We have Emuna, that what we have today was given to us by our parents. We trust our parents did not lie to us. And our parents trusted their parents that they did not lie to them. And their parents. And this goes back all the way to Matan Torah, to Har Sinai, where 600,000 men over 20, approximately 3 million people, including women and children, were eyewitnesses to Hashem coming down Har Sinai, giving us the Torah. We have emuna that no one lied to us, that no parent doesn't lie to a child. And this is the same way we believe the Torah was given to us in Har Sinai. With the giving of the Torah was giving its interpretation, its understanding. And although there are things in the Torah that are very challenging and are misleading, we have a Mesorah that this is what the Pasuk really means to say. And although we may have a problem fully grasping the depth of why it was written in a way which is misleading, that's our problem. But that's not... does not detract one iota from the authenticity of what the true and correct understanding is. This is all part of emuna, all part of the basics, the fundamentals of Yadus, is emunas chachamim, the Torah. It's one of the animalans. It's mamish, one of the 13 basic principles. The Torah that we have with us today is the same exact Torah that was given to Moshe Mi-Sinai. And that statement of the Rambam doesn't just mean that the letters in the Torah are the same. It means the Perush Rashi, the interpretation of the Torah, is the same interpretation. Nothing changed. The interpretations didn't change over 3,000 years. It's the same exact understanding of the Torah that was given in Har Sinai as we have today. It's one of the Yud Gimel Animamins. And he's saying that. And included in that is this idea that when it says here in Nach, and also in Chumash, there are a few Tikkun Seferims, where it says, this Eini, Eino, really, it means Hashem's eye. And it means Hashem's eye, so why doesn't it say Eini? Why does it say Einoi, which is misleading? That is because it's called a Tikkun Seferim. In edition number one, it was written Eino to teach us to be sensitive and not to talk about Hashem in a disrespectful way. Aval, loy lo hoisiv oy legroya, he's going back to his idea, God forbid, chas v'shalom, to add or to detract, afilu ois achas, even one letter. Ayin oy masha kosav ha-mizrochi b'parashas b'haloscha etzel v'al ere b'ro'asi b'shem sefer yoshan. Okay, I don't know what it says over there. In an old sefer on that pasuk, obviously probably says the same idea. Next paragraph. Gam ze motzasi b'sefer kololi ha-gemada shechim oreinu chadav Rabbi Yosef Kairoi. Okay, now he's going to something much more recent. The Aruch, okay, the Aruch, he quoted the Aruch in the very beginning. Okay? and he quoted the Rashi. He quoted people that were much later, that were much earlier. They were much earlier. Now he's going to people much more recent. Okay, the 16th, end of the 16th century, Yosef Cairo, Shulchan Aruch, and he writes. I don't know what that means.
And he's saying what Rabbi Yosef Cairo said
in that sefer
is very similar to what the Halicha Seilam
says. Okay. Al Derech Tikkun, he writes here the Ritzon Loimar Shenichtov Batoira in the first edition. Al Derech Tikkun Seifrim. It doesn't mean the Seifrim made corrections. Edition number one was already written on with the Derech. Of an editor who is sensitive to a style of writing. That it should be written with respect. For example, if David HaMelech would command a brilliant scribe, a sofer mohir, David gives a command. I want you to go and give an order. Here is a direct order. Tell so and so to do such and such. So when the scribe writes it down for the very first time, the scribe says, the King David has issued a decree. Now, it doesn't say David said. The scribe doesn't write that David told me to tell you to do A, B, and C. You don't do that. When the scribe writes it down, he takes the idea that was said with the ultimate precision, but he puts it down in words that are correct, that are delicate, that are respectful. The Melech David has issued an order that you do such and such. So it's the same thing. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, when he spoke, he said, if you call a key hanagea bochem, nagea bivoas a ni. But when Zechariah or whoever the Anshei Knesset Hagadola put what Zechariah said, what came out of his mouth, his speech, they put it in the first edition of Trei Aser, they wrote it with sensitivity. Ki hanagea bochem nagea bivoas a noi. Not Bivoas Eini. No one, after the first edition, no one dared lift a finger to edit, correct what we have. There's no Sofer who came along 500 years later and decided, oh, we're going to make a correction because it's not respectful. And the earlier...
The Anshei Knesset Hagdola lived at the same time as Zechariah.
Okay, but the Anshei Knesset Hagdola spanned generations.
Yeah, so, but not that long, though.
All right, but so then maybe it was even later.
Yishimon HaTzadik was Mishiyore Anshei Knesset Hagdola, right?
Mishiyore, okay, fine, but no, so even Yishimon HaTzadik.
I don't know when this...
It will be later. There's at least a 500-year difference, a 500-year span. The Anshei Knesset Hagdola...
Could have been 10 years.
But the Anshei Knesset Hagdola lasted the
whole... And Zechariah was from the Anshei Knesset Hagdola. So you have all these people who were part of the Anshei Knesset Hagdola.
But that does not explain.
That was the early generations of the Anshei Knesset Hagdola was during first and second Beis Hamikdash.
Absolutely, but it can very well be that the later generations would. That's what it means. They made a change.
It was a 500-year period of time. Soon. That's why they had more. Like David, the reason I said it, because you said David HaMelech would tell somebody in his day, obviously. So maybe this was decided in the time frame when Zechariah was still around, or not long after.
Explain about the ones that occur in the Torah in Chumash.
No, I understand. Of course, you're right.
Okay, let's go further. Let's finish up over here.
Because Could it be here also that he's saying this is like Ka'ein, Kri, and Ksiv?
Oh, so that's okay. Very good. That's what I wanted to touch upon. So we'll come back to that in 1 second. But no, it seems not. It seems that this is a different league. Tikkun Soferim is not Kri V'Ksiv. That's what's pretty clear here. He alludes to it a little bit. We mentioned before about the Kri. It's different. This is not a Kri V'Ksiv. The way it's written is the way we pronounce it. There's no deviation. A Kri V'Ksiv is a different category. It was deliberately spelled one way, and the tradition was to pronounce it another way. A Tikkun Soferim is, this is how it's written, and this is how it's pronounced, the same exact way. It's a different league. That's clearly what Tikkun Soferim is. It's not in the category of Kri V'Ksiv.
It's not a Kri V'Ksiv.
It's not a Kri V'Ksiv.
Similar to the same idea.
I don't know. I don't know if you can say that. I don't think it's similar. I think it's a completely different world. A Kri V'Ksiv, there is a limud. There's always a limud in the Ksiv. It's spelled one way on purpose. Because there's a message. There is a teaching in the way it's spelled. And then there's a way we pronounce it, which is a different idea. When it comes to Tikkun Soferim, there's no two lessons. There's only one lesson. There's only one word that's being said. There's no two ways to look at it. There's one way to look at it. It's just a sensitivity of language. It's a way of a description. It's not a limut. Kri V'Ksiv, we always find in Chazal, they make droshos, which lead to halacha. When it comes, basukos. How many, that's Moli V'Chos, that's not a good example. That's Moli V'Chos. But there are other examples where you have a Kri V'Ksiv, and it leads to halacha in some situations. Never are you gonna have that when it comes to a Tikkun Soferim. It's purely a nuance of language, an extreme nuance of language which went so far to that it should originally be written what would appear to be inaccurate in order to teach us sensitivity. Okay, let's finish up over here.
Sometimes there is a nekuda on top of that. Nakud al sovereign.
That's a different drasha.
To teach us something.
That's another drasha. By Yishakeyu.
Not to change the letter.
That's another drasha. By Yishakeyu. There are dots on the Yishke. There are dots on many, many words. Aye sari shtecha. There's a dot. Aye. That's another type of drasha where you have to have dots. A whole new world. And by the way, what happens if you're missing the dots? The Perish Allah in Yerideya. If you have a Sefer Torah and you're missing the dots, Vayishakehu, Parashas Vayishlach, there's supposed to be dots in every single word of Vayishakehu. What happens if those dots are missing? What is the halacha? It's the Ferish and Shulchan Aruch Kosher. You do not take out another Sefer Torah if you discover on Shabbos the dots are missing. So what do you see from that? Dots are not such a big deal. Dots, that you have to correct it, but it doesn't disqualify the kashrus of the Sefer Torah. If you have a Kri V'Ksiv, if a pasuk is supposed to be written one way, and we pronounce it a different way, and the Sefer, for whatever reason, he spelled it the way that it's pronounced, the Sefer Torah is possible. Because there's something to be said, there's something that is demanded that we learn from the Kri, the Ksiv, and there's something that is important about the way it's pronounced. When it comes to a Tikkun Soferim, you don't have that. You don't have that intensity. It's written one way, there's only one understanding, and it's there for a different purpose. Let's go further.
Could you post the Mincha Shai into the WhatsApp blog?
This picture?
Yeah.
Okay, fine, but it's in every edition not every edition, but the art
store. I looked through three editions I have at home. I don't have.
You don't have Mincha Shai. Okay, so I will believe that I will post it when the shiur is over. Yes. Hinei asoifer yisakein l'shoyin hakosuf kishayoymar hamelach David mitzav l'ploni ad kai l'shoyin. Fine. That's what it says over here. That's what the Beis Yosef says. So the Beis Yosef also says this idea. Uve mesoires parshas mishpatim kein the mesoira. Of Parashas Mishpatim, okay, we discussed this yesterday. We have to have a shiur one day about the Mesorah. We have to learn the code. It's fascinating. to learn the old-fashioned code of the Mesorah Gedola and the Mesorah Ketana, which today is extinct. It's mamish extinct today. In all of the old Tanakhs.
Codex? Does that have to do with the Codex?
No. What do you know? What do you do with the Codex? The Codex has the Mesorah pass. The Codex has. I don't know. I don't know if the Codex has the Mesorah Ketana and Mesorah Gedola. I don't know. But in all the old Tanakhs, the printed Tanakhs, on the side, there's something called the Mesorah Gedola and the Mesorah Ketana, and to most of us, it looks like Greek. What in the world? It looks like a bunch of letters. It does make one word of sense. You have to know the code. You have to know how to read. You know, since 99% of the population, even maybe even more, doesn't have any clue to what in the world this the Mesorah Gedola, Mesorah Ketana is, the printers decided to remove it from the text. Chaval, it was deleted from the text, and today no edition that I know of in the new Mikrois, because also all the fancy, beautiful, glossy editions, including the article, did they ever put back the Mesorah Gedola, Mesorah Ketana. I did recently see someone publish a sefer, if I'm not mistaken, of just the Mesorah, and basically presents and explains every single thing word by word, and explains you, elaborates what exactly it is, and it shows you what it is, and it shows you the whole Chochmah. And like we said yesterday, it's basically what in computers is called the checksum. Okay, I told you, when in computers you send data, you transmit data from the host between terminals, between either the host and the client, or vice versa, or between two clients, whatever it is, you send packets of data, and there's always a danger that the packets of data will be damaged. Something will not be received. So in every packet of data is analyzed by the computer that sends it, and it makes a mathematical calculation and gives and produces a result, a number. And that number is put on the envelope, and it's sent off to its intended recipient. And when the recipient gets the packet, it takes that same algorithm and makes the same analysis and produces a number. And then it checks if the number that it calculated is equal to the number that was calculated with the same algorithm by the sender on the envelope. And if it is, that is an indication that no data has been lost in the transmission. So that's called a checksum. And that's exactly what the Mesorah is. When you put down on the piece of paper the pasuk, there are a lot of dangers. You can leave out a vav, you can leave out a yud, you can make you change a beis into a chaf. The nikud, is it a chiluk? Is it a shva? There are lots of dangers. Every word that is susceptible to danger, it is checked. It is matched. How do you match it? By telling you that you do in the entire Tanakh, the same word with the same of the vowels appears exactly 5 times. So now, if you're going to check the whole Tanakh every time this word appears, it's only 4 times, you know that you made a mistake, that this word must be word number 5. It's a technique to guarantee that by telling you exactly in Tanakh how many words have exactly this spelling, mole, choser, shvana, shvanach, and v'chulu, 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 everything, you name it, all of the words that are vulnerable to error or manipulation, we have a technique to make sure that it's, and it's repeated. Because if this word appears 5 times, so every single time this word appears in 5 places in Tanakh, you're going to have the same simon. So if someone tampers with the Mesorah in Sefer Yeshaya, he has to be able to tamper with the Simon in Sefer Yechezkel and Parashat Shemos and Parashat Bereishis and Sefer Ezra. And that he's not going to be able to do so quickly, to tamper with all of the editions, all of the other places.
All this by heart.
The reason why there was a Mesorah is not because it's just drush. See, with the Bala, the reason the Mesorah was written, was produced, was for one purpose only, not for drush. The Bala Turim came along and he did something very. The Bala Turim, he wrote this as Purim Torah. I'm not saying Purim Torah. The Mesorah was written for accuracy, to preserve accuracy. It was not written, oh, it says the word over here in this pasuk, so what's the connection? So you make a beautiful drasha. When we're ignorant, we learn the chumash, and on the side of the chumash, every chumash, Every Shulchumash is the Balaturim. Oh, so we think that the Mesorah was written for one purpose only, to show you connections. It's Minash Shamayim, it's Misinai, this word here, this word here, this word here, there's a Drasha, it's like a Daf Gemara. There's nothing further than the truth. The Mesorah was written for one purpose only, to guarantee that the words of the Chumash did not become mistaken. No one tampers with it, and errors do not creep in. It was a sophisticated technique to guarantee that we preserve every single letter and every single vowel in the long, difficult Golos. That's what the Mesorah was for. The Balaturim came along with the most brilliant mind, and what he did was a beautiful thing. He took something that very technical, and he made it into a drasha. Does anyone here ever read the instruction manual for any electrical gadget that you've purchased? If you borrow a microwave, has anyone here ever read the instruction manual on how to use a microwave, how to use an electronic watch or a computer or a smartphone? They don't even print them anymore. It's a waste of paper. They tell you, want to figure it out? It's online. There's a manual online. Go figure it out. And then you go read the manual, and guess what? I could never, ever figure out how to use something from reading the manual. To me, it's all Greek. I have to go and either figure it out myself through trial and error, or go and look at some YouTube videos of people that are on my wavelength, simple people that can explain to me in simple words exactly how to use these electronic devices and these features. So, what would happen if I would tell you to take out the most boring manual that comes along with an old computer and start making drushes, and start making drushes, and say, you see this feature, you press this button, it's Mesamel, this Maimon Chazal, and this Maimon Chazal. It's very funny, right? Well, that's what that Balaturim did, but he did it in a beautiful way, and he did it with Emunah and Yiras Shamayim, which goes to show the beauty of Torah, that even something so technical, so bland, and so zeros and ones are all it's nothing is random. Everything is b'hashkocha pratis. You know the Balaturim. He gave it to his father as a gift. He gave it to his father.
What exactly are you saying that he did? I mean,
he took a manual book.
Terminology, let's say two or three or four times it occurs, and
he makes a drasha. He puts it all together.
A connection between them.
Right. So many of us, unfortunately, we have this assumption. That's why the Mesorah was written. It was written to make these connections. That's not why it was written. The purpose of the Mesorah was written to guarantee that the spelling,
the authenticity. Okay.
Authenticity.
And, you know,
it was a
that.
Technical, a
but
very.
But what thing was the purpose of the Balaturim?
He went and he took something very technical and he beautified it by making it into these most incredible drashas and showing the koyach of Torah is so powerful. The Musar and the Chochmah of Hashem is even in the Mesorah, something that is so technical. There is a pattern. There is Chochmah. And when did he do this? Purim. The Baal HaTurim was his Mishloach Monos to his father on Purim. Instead of bringing his father some vodka and some raisins and some Hamantashen, he brought his father the Baal HaTurim. And it is so fitting that this is the perfect gift on Purim. Because what is Purim all about? It's there's no such thing in this world as a coincidence. This happened, that happened, a collection of totally unrelated events, technical data, came together in the most magnificent way to bring for Klal Yisrael a salvation from which we have grown and thrived. And it's so enormous that it will never be bottled even in the time of Mashiach. What did the Baal HaTorim do? He did exactly that. He took the most technical book that Klal Yisrael has ever written, that ever existed, the most technical book possible, the most boring thing possible, and he made that into the most magnificent Sefer of Machshava and Drush, Ad Kedei Kach, that it's printed today in every single Chumash alongside Rashi. You have to appreciate what the Baal HaTorim did, and how it fits into Purim, and why the Baal HaTorim was this Mishloach Monos to his father on Purim. And here we're learning about Tikkun Seferim, and we're learning over here about that. We're learning over here about Chas V'Shalom, to lift up your finger to change, to make edits to Tanakh. Tikkun Seferim means nothing more than this, the way it was originally given. Let's finish up very quickly. We're out of time. Very quickly, Mesoris Parashat Mishpatim. Nimsa Simon min te'enoi v'chad v'enoi v'yecha mechem over there. There's a simon.
I think he's saying nine times occurs as a-no and once as v'e-no.
Oh, okay, very good. But you have to know the codes. I don't know the codes. We have to one day spend time on the codes. Nimsa simon min tes. Nine times it says in Tanakh, e-noi. V'chad, and one time it says v'e-noi. So if you look at the simon, it would probably say tes, eno, and then an aleph, ve'enoi. And that means nine times in Tanakh it says enoi, and one time it says ve'enoi. Now you go figure that out. So you have to go check all over Tanakh and see all the different places, and now you'll know by counting, if you ever have a doubt, if this one has a vav, doesn't have a vav. Well, we have a, that's a new thing. That's a new invention. This was the, which predates the concordance. The Mesara Gedoyla and the Mesara Ketana. V'yecha meirem hu nogeh b'voas eino, u'mashach yisarti kan levor ikar kavona saksuvim il amali al kol echa v'yecha b'mkoyma kiyar Hashem elokai olai avul kibatzti oysam kan kidei shayu kulam mitzuyonim b'mokom echa l'fi l'mi shayir tzil roysim. Okay, whatever that refers to. This, today, we spend time on something which Baruch Hashem, I think this is a very good topic. It's a very choshev thing that we learned today. This mincha shai. This mincha shai is extremely powerful. And what really, you know what really appeals to me almost more than anything else is how he doesn't clobber the opposition. Hanav and Yavin. He doesn't clobber the opposition.
Except that beginning where he talks about...
Right, he doesn't. He doesn't clobber them.
Incorrectly.
He begins... There's an amazing Musar Haskell in Midos Toivos. He presents, he's talking about something here that is so controversial, that literally borders on Kefira. And he starts off by presenting the other side, presenting the opinion, which I told you, walk into Beis Medrash today, and you say what I, the beginning, they'll literally say to you, not be curious, get out of here. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. He begins by telling you, his beginning words were, how he starts off, Uvepeirush Tikkun Seferim, Yesh Misha Kosas. He doesn't call him up a Karsan. Yesh Misha Kosas. She'anshe Kineses HaGadoyla Tiknu V'Shini HaDibur. They make corrections. And he goes on, and he actually brings support. And then, he very politely says, here, we don't do that. We don't do that here. That's not our. Look at this person. Look how he writes. Look how he talks. It's unbelievable. It's mooser just to see how you present something. Again, and this is serious stuff. This is not, you know, a drush here and there. You're touching here upon the fundamentals of halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. You're touching upon serious stuff here. And look at his delicate way of presenting and giving legitimacy and then coming along and expressing his opinion with a lot of strength and taikus and a lot of powerful words, but it's done with incredible chokhmah. There's a lot to be said about this, his approach. We're living in a society today, you know, after 4 years of having President Trump, you know, there's no one that's not affected with his midos. And his midos, you know, he may be a great president. A lot of people, he's won over a lot of people. A lot of people who originally did not vote for him, he's won them over. Okay, you know, there's a lot to be said. There's a lot of incredible things that he did, nothing to talk about. But one thing he has yet to do, has yet to learn with his daughter and his Einikloch, Pirkei Avos. That's a project he has to save. He has to sit down Shabbos afternoon and learn with his Einikloch, Pirkei Avos. Okay, and
By the way, I saw a picture of her that early this morning she was at the Ohel. Stopping at the Ohel,
okay.
Just as she did
very good.
similarly four years ago.
Okay, so the Lubavitcher Rebbe would also tell him to learn Pirkei Avos. No doubt. So unfortunately, we have been affected in a very bad way with his midos. I'm sorry, Bechol, but that's a fact. You can't, at least that's how I feel. And you look at something like this.
Yeah, all right, fine. But look at the contrast between the
all right, okay. I'm not denying anything you're saying. You know that also. But when you look at something like this, from the Mincha Shai, besides the Chidushim, he writes, his manner of presentation is magnificent. It really is. All right, let's take a short break. And we'll learn a little Chumash.
I could just remind you guys, first of all, tomorrow, obviously we're not going to do it tomorrow, but tomorrow begins early voting in New York. And if you don't want to, if you're worried about getting in a long line on election day, there are different hours
for
the next week. And check and find out what your local, you don't have as many places to go, but they are there. And if you choose to vote in person that way, you know, good. Also, just want to remind you again, there's a pro-Trump rally.